Do you remember what it's like when you're saying goodbye to someone for what you know is going to be a long time? Think about the last time that maybe you were moving. Truck is packed, car is loaded, everything ready to go, and you're saying bye to the neighbors or bye to family or bye to someone that is very important to you. Or maybe you're sending a young adult, a college student off, and you load the car or you drop them off at the dormitory and you say bye, you give them a hug, you give them a kiss. Or maybe you're leaving a job that you really love, something that's important to you, something that you care about. And there's a lot of people that you've been with and you've served with them and been a part of that kind of community for years. And on the way out, you do this. You say, I love you. You say on the way out, you know, the things that many times we leave unsaid until it's important. You begin to say things like, drive careful. You say, take care of your mom, take care of your brother, take care of your sister. And then you do almost every single time the same thing. On the way out, you stop and you say, remember, and you give them the most important piece. Whatever it is in that piece, whatever it is in that place, whatever it is in that time, you want to leave them on the way out with this one thing that you really want them to hold on to, one thing that you really want them to do. And that's what Jesus does when he's saying goodbye to his disciples right before he leaves this life, leaves this world, and goes back to heaven. He reminds them, and he reminds you and I, he reminds his disciples, he reminds you and I of the mission that he has placed in our hands. He reminds them, this is what is most important. It's the last thing that he says on the way out. And the last thing that he says, and he leaves it with them as he steps out of this earth and into heaven. I want to continue our series this morning that we've entitled The Path, talking about the path of discipleship. And we've talked about all different kinds of things. We've talked about worshiping weekly and gathering in a group. We've talked about serving on ministry teams. And this morning I want to talk about this one piece that is living on mission, because that's what Jesus says to his disciples on the way out the door. Take a look at the screen, and you can see as he steps out of this life and into heaven, he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age.
Amen.
Jesus has gone through his earthly ministry. The cross is behind him. The tomb is behind him. The resurrection has taken place. He's had all that interaction with Peter, all that interaction with the other disciples when he said to him, okay, fellas, go over to Galilee and I'll see you over there. That interaction with Peter where he said, Peter, do you really love me? All that is done. He's now leaving. And on the way out, he says to them, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that you have a mission. This is the most important thing, he says. This is the last thing I want to leave with you. Remember the mission. And your mission is to share the passion God has for lost people, to share the passion that God has for people that don't know him and who are not in relationship with him. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I'm gone. You're here. Go. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them to follow me. Now, we know that God has a passion for lost people. I think sometimes churches lose that passion. If we aren't careful, we begin to think that God is just interested in us. God is just interested in those people who already know him. God is just interested in those people who already have a relationship with him. But what Jesus says on the way out as he steps out of this life and into heaven is, listen, remember the mission that you have is sharing the heart of God for people that don't have a relationship with him. And we know that that's God's heart. Four different reasons. Take a look at the first one here. Living on mission connects our heart with the heart and life of God. And what God is passionate about is lost people. Take a look at the first thing. Here, give me that next slide up there, Joe. Number one, we know that God paid the ultimate price to redeem lost people. He paid the price. We know his heart and his passion because he gave his only son. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, there's a piece of us that says, you know what? What I want to do is I want to get my life together. I want to get my life all wrapped up in a pretty bow. And there's some ugly stuff over here in the corner. And once I get that arranged, once I get that under control, once I get that where it needs to be, then I'm going to have a relationship with God. First, let me get everything put together the way that I want it to be. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we know that God has a passion for lost people. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is always ready to help us share with people. Jesus was talking with his disciples one day, and he said, listen, there's going to come times when you're going to have an opportunity to speak for the kingdom, to speak for me, to speak for the Father. And he said, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourselves or what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You don't have to get all the pieces in place. You don't have to have everything ready. You don't have to have it all perfectly arranged in your mind with a beautiful outline to be able to share. You just lean on the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work through you. Amen. That's how we know that God cares about lost people. Because every single time you have an interaction with people that don't know Jesus, He's right there with you. And if you will lean into Him, He will give you the strength that you need. The third thing we know is that the Father is always working in people's hearts. Look what Jesus said in Luke 15. He said, my Father is always at His work to this very day, and I'm working too. A little bit later, He said, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. The Father is always at work in people's hearts because He cares about lost people. You know, we assume that He's going to be working in our heart, right? And that's an awesome thing. But He's also working in the hearts of people that don't know Him to draw them to Himself. And then finally, angels rejoice in God's presence when someone comes to Christ. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. On the way out, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to leave you with a mission. I came to seek and to save the lost. And now that I'm returning to heaven, guess what you're supposed to be doing? You are supposed to do what? Seek and save the lost. Now, here's the good news. He didn't just tell us what our mission was. He also gave us a plan. Look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Again, he's on the way up. Now, he literally is at the door. The angels are ready to take him into heaven. This is, as we have recorded, the very last words that Jesus says to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we know what our mission is, to share the good news. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we have a mission to share the good love of Jesus Christ. And we have a plan. Take a look at the series of circles here. Here's God's plan using ordinary people. Now, who's ordinary people? Yeah. Ordinary people. Not just a pastor up on the stage, okay? Ordinary, everyday people. This is God's plan. God's plan is to use you to fulfill His mission.
Amen.
To use you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And He talks about in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And many people would outline it this way. In your hometown, in your own culture, in your nearby culture, and to those places, the ends of the earth, where Jesus is not known. That's what we're about. That's the plan. He didn't just say, this is your mission. He said, you have a mission and you have a plan. This is how you're supposed to go about fulfilling it. So what does all that mean in practical ways when we talk about living on mission? So remember, we talked about this path of discipleship that says, these are the kinds of things that I need to do in order to grow and mature and develop and go forward. These are the kinds of things I need to do to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So what is living on mission? What does that look like to share my faith, to fulfill the mission of preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus' love in my hometown, in my culture, in my nearby culture, and to the ends of the earth? That's what I want to look with you at this morning. And I'm going to do less talking from here on out. And other people who are engaged in this process are going to do the vast majority of the talking. Because today what I want to do is share with you an overview of a lot of, not all, but a lot of the mission things that we do as we live on mission together at Riva Trace Baptist Church. The opportunities that you have, that many of you are already engaged in. And if you haven't got engaged in one of these opportunities yet, today is the day. At the end of the service, I'm going to challenge you to go to the mission kiosk. I'm going to challenge you to stop at the Welcome Center. I'm going to challenge you to take a look at this little insert that you had in your worship program and say, this is how I can get engaged and this is how I can get involved. So if we're going to share the mission of Jesus Christ in our home, there is no better way to do that than with our children. Would you agree? That's the single most important thing that we probably could be doing in our home, in our hometown. And so that's what Vacation Bible School was all about a couple weeks ago. Take a look at this kind of report for you, if you will. We had a couple weeks ago, plus or minus, closer probably to 350, but I'm trying to be a good pastor and just use real, you know, verifiable numbers. 325 children, 80-plus adults and teens working. And those teens raised $1,540 for mission work. Take a look at this picture. Here's this awesome picture of our platform at the celebration time when at the end of the week, they were lined up all the way over through here. It was an amazing week. The opportunity to see all those kids singing and praising God's name and being a part of the mission here of teaching our children to know who Jesus Christ was all about. But as amazing as that 325 was, guess what? It's not about the numbers. It's about just one. Just one. This is one of the young men that was at our backyard Bible club this week. See, we're running four of them. We have this big event where we do Vacation Bible School. But then we also have the opportunity where we go out into the neighborhoods and we invite just a few kids. So I've asked Rachel Long if she'll come and share with you a little bit of what Backyard Bible Club, Backyard Kids Club looks like. So Rachel, share with everyone a few thoughts that you have about that.
With Backyard Kids Club, we take VBS into the neighborhood. Our goal is to reach the kids that can't come to VBS. Grandparents, siblings, uncles, aunts that watch kids but won't take them to church or won't take them to a church building. We do the same things that we do at VBS. We do Bible lesson, we do music, crafts, games, snacks. But when you're outside, it may change. You have to be flexible and you have to be prepared. It could be really hot. So this week, we were really lucky to have good hosts that allowed us to move indoors when the heat became unbearable. With Backyard Kids Club, the volunteers get to have a better relationship with the kids. We get to spend more time with them, get to know them better. And when you're in the neighborhood, you become Jesus in the flesh for these kids. We are helping these families to realize that church is not about the building or the stuff in it. It's about the lives and hearts, knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for us. When I got there this week, it was really cool to see, you know, all the kids come. They all rode their bikes in, and all their bikes were thrown down in the driveway. They came because they wanted to. They listened intently to the Bible story. They talked to each other. They asked questions. They recited their Bible verses, and it was just really cool to see. But even better, they didn't want to go home when the day was over, so we were doing something right. Every child should get to encounter Jesus this summer, and I'm looking forward to the coming weeks.
So that was the first of four. We had one immediately. Just think, all these ladies and workers and men, teens who were exhausted after Vacation Bible School, there was another group of people who then the following Monday went down to South County. It's about 20 minutes away. And down in the little neighborhood down there, we put some signs up in the neighborhood at the entrance to the community. We went out and we did a piece of direct mail just to that postal route, about 500 or 600. And we had about 14 kids that showed up. Here's one of the best pieces of the whole day. The best piece is, give me that picture of the selfie with the dad. The last one. Yeah. That's not one of our Riva Trace people. That's one of the dads who brought his kids in, taking a picture with his children and some of the other kids in the neighborhood. It was an awesome day. So being on mission can be anything from sharing the love of Jesus Christ in Vacation Bible School with 300 and more, or it can be all the way into a neighborhood 20 minutes away. And I think there were like 12 or 14 students who came to that Vacation Bible School. So it was an awesome opportunity for us to share that. Now, if you'll reach in and grab this insert from your bulletin, I'm going to kind of refer to it a couple times during the day. So one of the things that we also have the opportunity to do, if you take a look at what is on the Riva Trace local mission opportunities, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll just show them to you. You know, we have the Tyler Heights Elementary School Ministry, where Tyler Heights collects and serves many of the students here in that Title I school. You're going to have the opportunity to hear from them a little bit later in the fall. Food pantry, we had food pantry yesterday. We give away over 100,000 pounds of food a year. Just think about that for a few moments. That's a lot of food. We have winter relief where we house the homeless here. Last year, I think it was between 30 and 40 that we took care of for an entire week. But the one I want to focus on is the one that we call City Serve. It's this annual ministry event where we together go out into our community. And we look for people who are struggling. We look for people that we can serve and help in a practical way. Now, here's the focus of City Serve, because I know that for many of us, we get a little bit confused. City Serve is designed to serve people who are not a part of our church family. If you're a part of our church family and you need some help around the house, we have some deacon ministry and some others who will help you do that as well. But in this event, what we're looking for are families who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so we have the opportunity to serve them. And the only way that we find those people, listen to me, is if you have a friend, a relative, or a neighbor that you can nominate and say to our team, hey, I've got a neighbor who is a widow. I've got a neighbor who is a single mom. I've got a neighbor who is a single dad. And they need some help at their house. They need some landscaping. They need some painting. They need some upkeep. Would you talk with them and see if we can come and serve them? I'll just give you a quick report. You know, the biggest problem that we have with City Serve is finding those, what we call single family homes. It's easy to find a school that needs help. It's easy to find, some kind of organization that needs help, a firehouse or something like that. But finding the individuals who will let us come serve them is hard. We had this great experience last week where Leanne Gallion, our director for City Serve, had the opportunity to visit with one of our local homeowners associations, and afterwards had six different people who said, I know someone that you might be able to serve. So pray for that opportunity, because we want to take the gospel to those people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of the things we had a couple years ago was, you know, I was so excited because we had a bunch of different single family homes that we were serving, and I went to visit almost all of them, and I would walk in and they would go, boy, this is awesome. Thank you for taking care of this. We really need some help with this. I wish my church would do this. So we had like six or seven of the people that we served already had a church family, which is great. We love to do that. But our first goal is serving people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So pray for the City Serve opportunity. And that's, again, as I said, not all of them. You have Tyler Heights, you have Food Pantry, City Serve, Winter Relief. We have Backyard Kids Clubs. We talked about that. The Christmas Child Boxes that are coming up. We have a ton of stuff that you have the opportunity to be involved in and an opportunity to serve. But that's not the only thing that we do. Living on Mission is what we said, Jerusalem, so we're doing a great job there. Judea, Samaria. Let's talk for just a moment about the ends of the earth. So I'm going to have which one is first? It's our Cuba mission trip. So Pastor Oren, come on up, and the students who are going to give a report, come on up here. We've got a place over here for us. And so tell us what happened in Cuba this year and kind of set us up for what's going on in that place.
Yeah, so Cuba was a great trip. We went the last week in June, so it wasn't hot or anything. But we took 8 teens and 2 leaders, my wife and myself, and we went, and our primary focus was on just sharing a message. It was we didn't do a lot of construction work or anything like that. It was primarily getting in, teaching people, and preaching to these different churches. We worked with 2 churches. One was a church in the Church of San Francisco, and the other one was the church at La Lisa, both right outside of Havana or part of Havana. And so what our focus was on the week was talking about reasons that youth struggle to get into a relationship with Jesus. And so we focused on, is the Bible scientifically accurate based on what we know is accurate in science? Is the Bible historically accurate? We talked about if God is a loving God and real, why do bad things happen? And we also talked about different distractions, the passion of the flesh, the passion of the eyes, and the passions of life, or the pride of life. And so we talked about all this, and we actually even also had the opportunity to do a spiritual gift assessment with one of the churches we worked with, which they thought was amazing because they had never heard of something like that before, or how to tell what they were blessed with, and so it was definitely a good opportunity to go down there and share. We did have a number of students either teach or share their testimonies as well, and so I'm gonna have we're doing the video first, right? So first, there's a recap video, so you can see some of the pictures and videos that were taken while we were down there, and then we're going to have one of our students who was one of the ones teaching share. So here's Ashley. Ashley was one of the students, like I said, that actually taught in some of our morning sessions to both churches that we were at. So
I am not a very outgoing person. So when Oren offered up the opportunity for two of us to have a religious visa, I was very skeptical, but I felt God was calling me to take this task, and teaching was absolutely terrifying but also absolutely exhilarating at the same time, because I learned a lot from the Cuban people. And one of the many things that everyone from our trip will tell you is that the best part of the trip was the people. And we were told by many people at many different times that when we went down there, the people, that we may bless the people, but they would bless us more. And that is very accurate. And I can't describe how amazing the people are there. You would have to experience it for yourself. But I can tell you that we have a family down there, and that we love the Cuban church very much, and that if we had the opportunity to go back, every single one of us would, with a resounding yes, go back to Cuba. And so one of the things that I taught on was the struggles that we have in life and why we have them and how we're supposed to respond to them. And personally, for me, I've had a lot of struggles, and so this was a very personal topic. And the people in Cuba have struggled a lot, but one thing that I took away from is their faith in God is very much unwavering, because they have to rely on Him for everything. And in America, we are very self-sufficient, and we do not rely on God for most things, because the government provides, or we have other ways of receiving what we need. And so one of the things that I thought about was, if I lost everything today, would my relationship with God be enough? And for most of the people down in the Cuba church, I believe that they, if they lost everything, that their unwavering faith in God would be enough for them. And so that was a challenge for me, because I struggle with not relying on God for everything that I have. And so I was challenged with that, and so I challenge all of you that if you lost everything today, would your unwavering faith and your relationship with God be enough for you? Thank you.
Next we have Carly. Carly is one of our youth that gave her testimony.
So the first thing you see going down to Cuba, you see poverty. I mean, it's not like any... So as an American, you think you're going down there to bless them. But I never really expected like so much love that they gave us. They basically gave us all their food, all for the week, and just let us eat it all, because they loved us that much to give us, to give it to us, no matter what. And they didn't just did it at the drop of a hat. They would do it any time, any day, if you ever came down. Which, I mean, that hit me hard, because I was never really loved enough, or never really felt like I was loved. So they not even know me for more than 3 days. Having that happen, it was pretty awesome. So coming back, I wanted to share the love that I got, because it was so much that I couldn't. I wanted to share it with people who don't necessarily have that love in their life. So it's more or less a challenge of keep trying to love on people no matter what they do to you, no matter how much they hurt you, no matter how much they want to tear you down. Just keep on loving on them no matter what. So, and that's kind of what I grew down in Cuba, learning that you have to love on people no matter what, no matter what they've been through, and no matter what you've been through. It's better to love at everyone. You'll feel better yourself. So.
And next we have Kyle, who's one of our teens that had the opportunity to teach while he was down there.
So I taught in the morning about science in the Bible and how they can be together, and how there's scientific facts within the Bible that are proven by science to be true, which shows that it is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And then I also did one with Ashley about the trials and tribulations and why we are put through them. And then there was also one on the spiritual gifts assessment, which they absolutely loved, since they don't have the resources available in Cuba to actually get the assessments like that off the internet and print them out for their church. So it was a joy to see them and them loving what we have done for them. And then one of the things in Cuba is just that how content they are with everything that they have. They never once complained at all while we were down there. And there are some things where, like, they had that drummer, and the drum kit itself wasn't, like, the best in shape, so it would always, like, one of the drum would just flip over, but they just had someone there always fixing it as they were drumming, and they never complained, and you could always just see that they're filled with joy all the time. And that's one of the things that we in America tend to struggle with, is finding our contentment with Christ and not with, like, the world and the material in the world. And so it was just a wake-up call, kind of, to see them with all the stuff that they don't have, and yet they live as if they do have everything because they have faith in Christ.
Amen. So thank you so much for all your prayers. It was definitely a successful trip and a great one, and hopefully we get to do it again next year. So.
As most of you know, I've been traveling back and forth to Cuba for, I don't know, 15 years or so. And one of my daughters had the opportunity many years ago to serve in that ministry, but we haven't had a student team down there for quite some time. So this was an amazing opportunity to see God open those doors again. And one of the things I love is seeing what God does in the hearts of the students while they are down there. And I hope you appreciate it. Parents, you should be so proud of them. I've heard already from a couple of my friends down there about how awesome your teens were. Not just these three, but also the rest of the team as well. And so they did an amazing job. One of the other things that we want to share with you is this morning, also another mission trip that we had this summer, just returned a week or so ago to Mexico. So I'm going to ask if Krista Westgate would come. She and Mark are two mission directors here at Riva, and she and Mark led that team. And so if the three that are going to speak after Krista, come on up and have a seat, we'll be ready as well. Krista, kind of fill us in on the beginning of that trip.
Yeah, so Mexico is something that we've done for the past 16 years here at Riva Trace. We've sent a team every single year, if not twice a year occasionally. And this year we took 11 people over to Mexico in a span of 3 days. We joined about 100 other people and built 3 foundation homes complete with an outhouse and furniture. We worked with a local church that is little more than a tent to put on a VBS for about 25 children. We did an eyeglass clinic that works with the community to not only share the gospel and pray with people and offer healing, but meet the practical need of giving them glasses so that they can see something that they don't have access to. And we also worked with a paintball team and a local youth ministry to partner with the Mexican children that are there, the Mexican youth that are there, that we're working to keep out of gangs. Our team this year was awesome. They had a great time. A lot of them, it was a first-time trip for them. And every year we go, it's just amazing to see what God does. It's amazing to see how he works in such a short amount of time. And after our video, we're going to have Larry, Diane, and Matt share with you guys.
Put that house in your heart. Put that fire in your soul. Good morning. I'm Larry Fee. I'm just amazed at these trips. I've been on this trip several times in the last 16 years. It's been 16 years. But what amazes me the most is what we accomplish in 3 days in the building of the house. That's what I do for a living here. But to take 25 people that most don't have the skill to do that, but what the product turns out is just amazing. And the first Bible study we had that morning was Colin was doing those, and he was talking about the church being in amazement in Jerusalem. And I shared with them that, for me, the amazement is what God accomplishes through us just because we are willing. And that's the theme of the thing is, I will go, you know. And so, for me, if you think you have skill, if you don't think you have skill, if you can speak Spanish, if you can't speak Spanish, this is a great trip to go on. And so I know Pastor is challenging us to step up and do something for missions, either locally or far away. So that's my challenge to you, too. Go on one of these trips and let God use you, you know, to affect someone's life forever. We provide this family shelter, but we also introduce them to the local church. And that's what Christ did. He always supplied a need, and then he did, you know, supplied spiritual need. So I would just challenge our church to do the same thing in whatever God calls you to do. Thank you.
Well, good morning. This was my very first mission trip. I didn't know what to expect. We were told lots of things, and we were shown pictures, but nothing prepared me for what I saw. Poverty was everywhere. The homes were in terrible conditions. I met Jean. She was the leader for VBS, and that's what I was going to be doing there. And the VBS team drove up this huge hill, very steep hill to the top, and it was flat. And on that hill were Pastor Jose and his four-month-old church. And his church was built from pieces of plywood, tarps, sheets of plastic, even cardboard. I wasn't expecting that. But when I walked inside the church, it was absolutely beautiful. And when they had service there, the pastor speaking, the kids singing, you know, God was everywhere. God's spirit was throughout that church. You just felt it. It was simply amazing. Pastor Jose did come to the ranch where we were staying one night for dinner, and he came to our service and gave us his testimony. And it was ugly, but it was powerful. And he had a rough life, and he found the Lord, and he immediately changed. And for this change that the Lord had given him, he vowed to build his own church. And he wanted to talk to, share his story, and teach others who had just nothing about Jesus and what Jesus could do for their life. It was so apparent in all the kids, in all the parents, in all the people. Jan had brought lots of crafts and games and coloring. We did manicures on the kids, and the older ladies wanted manicures. The joy in these kids. It was very inspiring. The little that we did made such a difference to them. Sorry. VBS was fabulous. The people were fabulous. The kids were gorgeous. We did a dress a girl, dress a boy mission that they had sent from California, where women had made these beautiful dresses and for the girls and shorts for the boys. They made hats and they made dolls. And We presented them to the kids. We also did a vision clinic in which they had a laminated card with Bible verses, each one getting smaller, and they were told to read the verse that they could read well without struggling. And right by that verse would be the number of magnifier glasses, like 1.0, 2.5. So we'd give them the glasses and give them a card to read, and there was not one face that just didn't go. I mean, this was the first time these people, for I don't know how many years, could read the words. It was amazing.
Yay, Jesus!
I am so glad I stepped out of my comfort zone this late in life to make this trip, and I really was very close to not doing it. The leaders, Krista, Mark, Oren, we wouldn't have these trips without these guys. They do it all. And I am so happy to belong to a church that supports these mission trips. And I, like the others, encourage every one of you to just step out of your comfort zone. Make a trip. It'll change your life.
So this was also my first time going to Mexico, and I almost didn't go as well. I didn't want to at the beginning, but over the first month and a half of having the mission trips announced and having the applications out, I started to get these subtle hints that God was saying, go to Mexico, go to Mexico, just go to Mexico, and I kept saying no. But eventually I did get the point, and I signed up, went to Mexico, and I'm really glad that I did, because the whole trip was really a good reminder for me about how missions isn't something that we do because we want to. It's not something that we pick and choose what we do and where we go. It's really about what God wants us to do and where God wants us to go. And so going on this trip helped me to understand, again, that sometimes I just need to kind of suck it up and do what God tells me to do. So the two things that I really liked about the trip was seeing how the house was built so quickly. It's one thing to hear someone say that we're going to go build a house in 3 days. It's another thing to actually do it. I think it was midday on day two. And I was sitting there, and I was like, the house is almost done. We just have to do all the details on the inside and everything. And it was just amazing to see everybody come together and build these houses for these people who didn't have, you know, anything like that. They needed somewhere to live, some shelter. And it was really cool. The other thing that I really liked was at the end of every day after dinner, all of the groups came together to worship. So there was us, there were a bunch of people from California, and we got together and we worshiped with singing, we worshiped with teaching and with testimonies. And it was also another good reminder that we don't do this because it makes us feel good. We do this because ultimately it brings glory to God. And also it helps us to spread the gospel and to share the love of Christ with the people that we're serving while we're down there. And so, yeah.
I will echo what Diane said just a moment ago, which is I am so grateful to be a part of a church where we have the opportunity to be engaged in mission. And if you take a look at that little insert that we put in your worship program, you'll see on one side the local mission opportunities, those Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria opportunities. But if you flip it over to the other side, you'll see some Riva Trace missionaries. These are men and women, some young adults, some seniors that we sponsor through our mission program here. So if you look at your giving envelope or you look at some of the opportunities that you have to give, you'll see a general fund, which is the lights and the building and all those different kinds of things. You'll see a debt reduction, which helps us pay down the mortgage. You'll see benevolence, which is where we help people who are struggling, people who need some medication, some help with their home, some help with an electric bill. And you'll see a mission opportunity to give. And so when you give to missions, you help support those teams. You help support the Backyard Bible Club. You help support these missionaries that you see. And I won't take time to go through all of them in detail, but Christina Coder grew up in our church, and she's now serving in a youth ministry up in Pennsylvania. She was here a couple weeks ago, serves and takes care of over 1,000 students, manages the kitchen, and she's only like 20 years old all summer long in that area. Nelfa Makuja used to attend Riva 10, 15 years ago, but she went home to take care of her mother. And so she is the only gospel witness on that particular island that she lives in, lives on in the Philippines. Kyle and Hannah Brisner are in Mozambique. Hannah is the daughter of Mark and Sandy Cruz, and they're exploring missions in Mozambique. John and Mary Van Slyke attended here when he was on staff at the Naval Academy, and now is retired, and he's out in Washington State serving some submariners and other folks in one of the missions out there with the navigators. Chase Morgan was in our church from the time he was very, very young, and his family has moved away, but he contacted us, and he's going to be serving in Japan this year. And then, as you know, we serve over 20 Cuban pastors through the missions here at Riva, Mission Ministry, and through the Band of Brothers, who together we have a number of different missions. And the last one that we'll talk about is, very quickly, this Cuba Container Project. I know some of you thought that we already shipped that. It's still sitting in Baltimore waiting for one final signature, which I was guaranteed was going to happen on Friday 4 weeks ago. And guaranteed was going to happen on Friday 3 weeks ago. And was just guaranteed that was going to happen on Friday, that last signature, 2 weeks ago. And whenever I talked to our brother Orlando, who kind of helps us manage that, he's like, them doggone bureaucrats, they still haven't signed it. And that was Saturday night. And so it is not there yet. But there's one last signature, and we'll be able to send those materials, and then we will travel to distribute them throughout the entire island. Here's my challenge to you this morning. Where are you helping to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave you? Because on the way out the door, as he was leaving and going back to heaven, he said, you're going to be my witnesses. This is what I want you to do. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, everywhere you go, to the very ends of the earth, make disciples. Teach people that God loves them and they can have a relationship with him. If you'll take a look at this flyer, you will see every single one of those opportunities that we've talked about. Tells you where you can connect, tells you where you can get some information, tells you where you can explore where God wants you to help fulfill the mission that he has entrusted to our care. So here's my question for you today. What kind of commitment will you make? If you will, reach out, grab one of your connection cards, stop by at the mission kiosk, take the opportunity to get online, look at all these and others. We have a ton of opportunities for you to be a part of what God is doing. Remember this. As he was leaving, he said the most important thing, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Almost every one of the ones that you saw on stage this morning, if you listen to them in the background as we talk to them about, we want you to speak, they're like, oh no, not me. Exactly the same thing that they said when we're like, we think you should go. And they're like, I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can. And God will give you the strength. And so my challenge to you this morning is to find your place in fulfilling God's mission in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team, if they will, to come back out this morning and to lead us in one final closing song. And as they do that, let me encourage you to prayerfully look at the opportunities that you have to be a part of being on mission, knitting your heart together with the heart of God as we seek to fulfill the work that he's left in our care.